Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I just want to reiterate again, if you haven't done Answer before, I highly, highly recommend it, not because I teach it, but because of the content that we're going to cover in Answer. If you have questions about, you know, whether God really exists or not, how do you know the Bible is reliable, can you lose your salvation, things like that, you know, make sure you sign up for Answers. I've been hearing good reports from Christians who've been a Christian for a long, long time, and they said, wow, it was so fresh, it was so new for them, and just a life changer. So I want to encourage you to sign up at therocks.info, at the connection desk after the gathering, if you're interested. It starts this Tuesday for 4 weeks. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. For those of you who are new to our church, let me extend my personal welcome to you. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us. I think that's awesome. And also, I want to extend my welcome to all the YouTube viewers, podcast listeners joining from all over the world. Thanks for joining in as well. Hey, as John has said, we are at the tail end of our series that we're calling Legacy, which is part of our Kingdom Builders campaign. And just to reiterate again, for those of you who are newer to the church, it is a generosity campaign where we as the Rocks family, this is for the family. So if you're visiting with us, sit back, relax. We don't want anything from you. In fact, we've created this environment for you. Our church exists for you, for people who are not yet maybe feeling included in the church. And we are that kind of church. So, but this is for the Rocks family to commit our giving, a percentage of our income for the next 12 months. In our church, we don't believe in tithing as the law. I believe the New Testament principle is priority percentage giving, where you set aside a percentage of your income, and 10% is a good guide. You know, don't make it the ceiling if you've been giving 10%, but if you're not able to give 10% yet, maybe you can work your way up from 5%, 7%. It doesn't matter. It is your heart that counts, yeah? God loves a cheerful giver. So this is just your regular giving that you pre-commit 12 months ahead, if you understand what I mean, okay? So, and we do this because we believe in the vision of our church. We are that kind of church. I believe the vision that we have to be a church for people, especially for those who think they are far from God, we want to be intentional about that. And we do this once a year. We don't do this every single time. So if you're new, you know, this is what we do once a year. Next week, we're going to start a brand new series. I want you to come back and bring a friend. And our series is going to be called Relational Vampires, Loving the People Who Suck the Life Out of You. I know you have some of those people in your life. You want to come back and bring a friend and see how we can navigate through these relational vampires, all right? But today is Celebration Sunday. We have a lot of reason to celebrate. We have 3 baptisms this month, and that's worth celebrating for sure. And yeah, come on, Rob and Shirley, congratulations. Come on, how generous are they? Not only are they faithful, generous givers to our church, but, you know, they even take on like 3 additional foster children into their family, and that's just amazing. So thank you, Rob and Shirley, for your generosity of heart. That's just so inspirational. So we're here to celebrate that, but we're also here to celebrate the result of our Kingdom Builders commitment last Sunday, okay? Now, to give you a perspective, last year, this is the amount of money that you committed for 12 months from March 2018 until June 2019. We asked you to extend it for 2 extra months because we want to change our Kingdom Builders calendar to fit with the financial year. So last year, you committed $506,000, and that represents the highest number that has ever been committed over 1 weekend in the life of our church. And people come to me and said, oh, maybe this year we shouldn't have our hopes too high because some people are tired of giving to Kingdom Builders because they've been doing it for years and they want to have a break. And the economy is still so tough. People don't have as much resources as they used to. Maybe they won't be able to give as much. And we have a lot of new people in our church as well. They're new Christians. And maybe it might offend them. Some even suggested to me, maybe we shouldn't even do Kingdom Builders at all. So I said, no, we got to do Kingdom Builders because we really believe in the vision of our church. We are so intentional in making this space to be accessible. Our slogan, no perfect people allowed. We are super intentional. We don't exist for ourselves. We don't focus on the 99. We focus on the one that Jesus really loved, who don't even know that there is a God who loves them. That's our focus as a church here. So that's why we got to do Kingdom Builders, because this vision is worth funding, is worth financing. All right. I don't take any cut from this, in case you're wondering, you know. I don't have a pay raise because of the amount that we generate or the amount that we promise. So nothing like that. John will continue to drive his old beat up Toyota Corolla. He's not going to get a pay raise this year. You know, sorry, John. But this is something that we really believe in. That's why I want to keep encouraging you to be generous. Even if you're not a believer, even if you're not a Christian, you know, this is not for you, I know, but I want to encourage you to be generous as well. Don't give the money to this church. Give your money elsewhere if you want, you know, because I know God can do a lot of things with your resources, all right? Now, with that, I want to reveal our commitment, your commitment that you gave last Sunday. And I have my drummer here ready. We practiced this morning. I want a drum roll when I say it, not before I say it, all right? So last Sunday, you guys, as a family, myself included, my wife included, have committed for the next 12 months to set aside a percentage of your income. And as a family, we committed, drum roll please, a record $746,000. That's the single biggest commitment that we have ever made in the history of our church, ever. And you did that over one Sunday. Isn't that amazing? And that amount represents 48% increase from last year. So I want to really thank you so much for your spirit of generosity. You know, people ask me all the time, you must have some big donors at the Rocks because you were able to afford this big parcel of land. You were able to build this wonderful building. You must have some really large donors. The answer is no, we don't. We have one or two over the years that give maybe a fairly large amount. But let me tell you, 99% of our giving throughout the years that we've been around come from people like you and me, come from students, come from workers, come from housewives, come from, you know, young adults. These are the people who make our church. So I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I want to invite to come to the stage one of your own, Anzalette, who is, come on, give Anzalette a hand. Anzalette is not only one of our small group leaders, she is also my personal prayer warrior, you know that? She always sends me, you know, encouraging messages, encouraging email, prayer, and you know, whatever it is that she feels I need to hear. She is just amazing. So Anzalette, thank you for spending your time here with us. Can you introduce yourself and tell us who you are, what you do?
Hello, everybody. My name is Anzalette. I'm a registered nurse, and I work in a premier health facility over in Perth.
All right. And can you share with the people of the Rocks what you shared with me over the email? I think that's inspiring.
Thank you. When I became a Christian, I purposed within myself to be obedient to what God has asked us to do, mainly with our giving. I surrendered everything. And it wasn't, however, until I came to the Rocks Church in 2016 that I was actually set free from legalism. Because I used to believe that we had to pay our 10% tithing as gross from my gross income as a given. However, Pastor Daniel delivered a very strong message about priority giving of your income. And he had this demonstration of the three jars. And the number one jar, he said 10% to God, 10% to savings, and you live on the 80%. So I began to diligently and intentionally follow this principle. And, you know, that message of grace was what delivered me from my legalistic behavior over the giving of my tithes. And I used to be somebody who was very, you know, had a lot of consumer debts. I could not be free. I was not happy. I was not joyful. I just, you know, continued to have this belief that if I didn't give my 10%, then something was going to happen to me.
So your giving actually put you in debt.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
So how's Let's not even go there.
How's your financial standing?
All right. So now I have become a lot more, intentional. I'm a lot more careful with my resources that God has given to me. And because of that, I have got 5 evidence of approval from the Lord with this priority percentage giving. 1, I have increased my giving. 2, I had a credit card debt of $7,000. It is now reduced to $800. 3, I had a novated car lease. And you know, with car leases, it sort of has this running, this end period, and you have to pay a residual amount before you can actually own the car. I now have that amount in full. It's running out this September, and I can pay that off. I'm also ahead in my utility payments. In fact, I also have, you know, what you call credit notes from all our providers, like, you know, Telstra and Synergy and Alinta Gas and all of those sorts of things. But the biggest blessing of all is that I no longer live from paycheck to paycheck. I feel as if I am living in God's blessing. And then because of that, I have decided to intentionally, joyfully, happily give to the Rocks, because I believe in the vision and the mission of this church. It's absolutely unique. This is a church for everyone, for everybody. And it says, like it says out there, no perfect people allowed. And I have seen with my own eyes, and you have too, absolute life change that's happening, that has happened and will continue to happen. And I want to be a part of that.
Thank you so much, Angela, for sharing that. Wow. I did not pay her to say that. She sent me an email about 3 weeks ago telling me her financial journey, and I said to Angela, you got to share that with the rest of the people at The Rocks, and because that is so encouraging. Thank you so much, Angela, for sharing that. So thank you for all of you who are like Angela. You know, you're not giving out of abundance necessarily, but you're giving out of faithfulness, understanding that God has been gracious to you. That's why you want to give to God. So that's what we celebrate here today. We don't celebrate, if you're wondering what we're celebrating, we not celebrate our record amounts. I don't think God cares so much about that. Let me be honest with you. I don't want to take it for granted. Yeah, we appreciate the giving. We appreciate, of course, we're happy. We clap our hands with our record amounts. But that's not what we're celebrating. What we're celebrating this Sunday is the journey of faith that you have taken in the process. Because at the end of the day, it is your faith growth that is so important to God. Because Kingdom Builders is actually faith promise, isn't it? Kingdom Builders is actually faith promise. You're promising to God by faith that you're going to give for the next 12 months. In case you're wondering how come you do this fundraising every year? It's not fundraising. It's a faith promise. Let me tell you the difference, okay? It's very important. Fundraising is when we raise money for our own cause, you know, because we need to meet a budget, because we have certain expenses. Yeah, we have interest to pay. You know, we have salary to pay, and John's salary is really, really high, as you know. But that's not the reason why we give. We give because we partner with God. We are warriors in the kingdom of God to extend His grace to the people around us. That's what we do. We are partnering with God to serve His cause, to serve His purpose in this community. And in fundraising, you know, donors make it happen. But in faith promise, God makes it happen. I mean, if you're giving to this church and you believe that unless you give, we're going to be in trouble, man, take your money back. No offense, but we will not be in trouble just because you don't give. God will make it happen through the generosity, the faithfulness of His people. Now, it's a privilege for us to be a part of it, but with or without us, God is going to make it happen. Jesus already said, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's just a privilege to be able to partner with God in that way. In fundraising, we give to make us feel good, to remove guilt. Maybe if we don't give, we feel guilty. But that's not what we do in faith promise. We give because God says it's good. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And you all know that. But most importantly is this last point, okay? In fundraising, we ask the question, how much did we raise? That's why I said the record amount is not important. We don't want to ask that question. We want to be happy about it. But the more important question is this: how much has God's people's faith grown? That's very important to God. Let me tell you why. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. See, you don't please God by rituals. It doesn't say without rituals it's impossible to please God. You don't please God by, you know, rules and regulations. It doesn't say without rules and regulations it's impossible to please God. We got to obey all the time. No, I mean, obedience is great, but that's not how you please God. Religion is not even the way. It doesn't say without religion it's impossible to please God. You know how you please God? God desires more than anything else out of you a relationship that is based on faith. A relationship that is based on trust. You know, if you're a family person, you know that. You want to relate with your family members, not on the basis of tit for tat, but on the basis of trust, right? And that's exactly the same way, because God is our Heavenly Father. So this morning, I want to celebrate your faith. The faith that you don't even know you have, probably. And we're going to learn together to use as a reflection point from Hebrews 11, because Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. This is the list of men and women of God, you know, people who God says, yep, they did good. Not because they were perfect, but because they had faith. Okay, so faith is like a multifaceted diamond, and there are four facets of faith that I want to share with you, I want to celebrate with you, faith that you might not even know you have. Okay, number one is this: faith means you believe it before you see it. The world will tell you, unless I see it, I won't believe it. Okay, but Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this: what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. You see, the world says, I see it, then I believe it. The Hebrews writer says, no, there are things in life that you have to believe before you see, right? Regardless whether you are an architect drawing a building plan, whether you are an athlete trying to break a world record, or you are a scientist trying to send people to the moon, you know, these are the things that require faith, that require belief before you see it. That's a great quote from Wernher von Braun, who built this spaceship, the Atlas spaceship that sent people to the moon. He said this: there has never been any significant achievement in human history that was not accompanied by faith. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting in a house in Shelley, near Shelley Bridge, with a group of young university students. There was just a few of us, 8-12 of us, in that room. And I remember saying to that small group of people, young people, I said, this number is going to grow. God is going to grow us. And one day, I said to that group, we're going to have our own building. And they all laugh about it. And I laugh about it as well, because I didn't believe it myself until sometime, you know, later, like, oh, maybe God wanted us to believe this. Maybe God wanted to do this for us. So true enough, we started believing in it. And before you know it, in 2004, we bought our very first building. We paid it off in full in 1 year. You know, we paid $170,000 for it. And mostly the money come from students at the time, which is amazing. And God honored us and kept on growing us until we moved to our new facility in 2016. Right? And I'm glad that this Kingdom Builder series, we call it legacy, because that legacy of believing before seeing has been passed on from year to year to year until now is passed on to all of you. And this is the number that we can celebrate. This is the number that I was happiest about when I heard about it from Mary. This year, we have, you can clap your hands for this, this year we have 207 new participants. Come on! 207 new participants. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me that you believe it before you see it. Some of you believe it more than I do. We don't give to buildings. We don't give to bricks and mortars. You believe there are going to be more people. They're going to know God. They're going to know Jesus because of us. Because of this building. We don't care about the building, but the building is only used as a facility. You believe that more lives are going to be changed, more teenagers are going to come to know Jesus, more kids are going to be saved now, more marriages are going to be restored. You believe that more than me, for some of you, and that's amazing. That's what you're giving your money to, and that, my friend, let me tell you, is worth celebrating, because faith means you believe it before you see it. I reckon our church will be too small. in a couple of years, right? We may have, you know, to run 4 services. Maybe, I don't know, 5 services. I don't know. Maybe we need to enlarge this building, but we still have a large piece of land. But you believed it when you encouraged me. Come on, we have to start a second service. We have to start a third service, and so on. That's what faith is all about. Second, faith means you obey before you understand it. Listen to the amazing faith of Noah in Hebrews 11, verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. If you're taking notes, circle the word by faith, obeyed, and never happened. See, Moses, Noah obeyed God before he could understand it, because when he received that message from God, the earth has never had any rain before. Can you imagine that? The earth has never had any rain. Can you imagine the conversation he had with God? Noah, I want you to build a large boat in the middle of the desert. Why, God? Because there's going to be a huge flood. Excuse me, God. What's a flood? Oh, it's going to be a huge rain. Sorry, God. What's rain? Because he never experienced it before. It's like when I take this lake and pour it down from the sky on you, that's rain. Noah, in faith, before he could understand it, he just obeyed God. You know, I asked my wife, Hulda, can you recall a time, you know, I was hoping for a good sermon illustration from her. Can you recall a time when you obeyed God, when he asked you to do something and it was, you know, it didn't make any sense? And Hulda said, sure, when he asked me to marry you. I said, what? You know, that's not the answer I was looking for. But it's funny anyway, so there you go. And let me tell you, a lot of you obeyed before you understood. We asked you to pray about the amount that you plan to give, and maybe some of you were shocked at the amount that God wanted you to give and said, are you sure, God? You know, because I could do a lot of things with this money. And let me tell you, maybe logic will tell you otherwise. Maybe your reason will tell you, you know what you can do with that money? You know, you can go for an expensive holiday, you can renovate your house, you know, you can do a lot of things with that money. But a lot of you obeyed even though you didn't understand it. This year, I decided to give 12% from my salary. You know, pastors get a lot of salary, right? And 12% of a lot of money is a lot of money. And I thought to myself, man, I have a hungry 13-year-old at home. I could do a lot with this 12%, you know. I could buy a new car, you know. I drive an older car. I could do a lot of things with that money. But even though logic says one thing, faith said, no, you need to obey, even though you didn't understand it. And that's what a lot of you did, and that's worth celebrating, let me tell you. Number three, faith means you give it before you have it. A lot of people, Christians even, do the opposite. God, I want to give to you, but if you let me win this lottery, I will give a lot of money to you. God, if I have a pay rise, man, I will give, you know, definitely more if I only have this money. But, you know, that's not faith. Even atheists can give like that. It doesn't require any faith. Faith means you give it before you have it. That's what kingdom builders is all about, isn't it? You are actually pre-committing, you pre-give your giving for the next 12 months. And for many of you, or if not all of you, you don't have that money yet because you receive salary from month to month or maybe every fortnight that you commit for the next 12 months. Some of you, even worse, you know, like my wife, she's a piano teacher. Sometimes her income is a certain amount. If she has more students, she has more money. If she doesn't have any students, she doesn't have any money. So, and yet she committed a certain amount. She committed to give before she even had it. Listen to the story of Cain and Abel in Hebrews 11, verse 4. It was by faith that Abel, the son of Adam, brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain. Why? There's a relationship between offering and faith. Not because Abel's offering is more or better or, you know, of a certain kind. The reason why Abel's offering was more acceptable to God was because it was given by faith. It was given by faith. It is the attitude that counts. God doesn't care how much you give, but the manner in which you give, that's what's important to God. You see, there are two ways that you can give. And I like this quote from Rick Warren a lot. He says, you can give by faith or you can give by fear. You can give by reason or you can give by revelation. You know, for many people, they give out of fear. Oh, I can't give too much because if I give too much, what if I don't have enough for myself? I'm going to give a small amount that I can afford to lose. So it would not cost me any trouble, even if I lose that money. That you give out of reason. I have a certain amount of money, and I can only give so much because of this much money that I think will come in, or the money that I have. That's giving out of reason. That doesn't require any faith, you know. Faith, or giving by faith, is when you give before you even have the money. Maybe you don't even know where the money is going to come from. God puts such a large amount in your heart. You look at your finances and I don't know where this money is going to come from, God, but somehow I had this notion that you put this amount in my heart. I'm going to obey you before I understand it. I'm going to give it before I receive it. You know, listen to this amazing, amazing story of the first Christians in Macedonia. And Paul brag about them in 2 Corinthians 8, 2-4. He says this, in the midst of a very severe trial, these Macedonian believers, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Think about this. Severe trial, overflowing joy, they don't go together. Extreme poverty, rich generosity, how can it be? How can you be extremely poor and be rich in generosity? In fact, Paul told them, I don't want you to give. You don't have to give at all. And they were angry at Paul. I testified that they gave as much as they were able. That's giving by reason. And even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. I didn't persuade them. I didn't ask from them. Entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us. They were angry and said, we want to take part in this privilege of sharing. You know, that's giving by faith. I want to say something now that might offend some of you. You know, when we started this Kingdom Builders campaign, we asked you to pray about it. We asked you to pray about it. Why? Because it's important. Remember, it's not about the amount that we raise. Kingdom Builders is about stretching your faith. And for some of you, you give without stretching your faith. So here's what I want you to do. And I'm telling you, some of you will be offended. That's not my intention at all. So I apologize in advance. But let me tell you just the truth, speaking from my heart right here. Some of you, you need to revise your pledge because it doesn't represent faith. You need to revise the amount that you give. Maybe you haven't prayed. Maybe, you know, last minute say, oh yeah, I need to give. I just give this much. Ask God. Maybe you need to go back to the drawing board. Go to your prayer closet and ask God, God, what is an amount that represents faith for me? Because that's the amount that I want to give. Some of you need to do that because faith means you give it before you have it. And then finally, number four, this is very important. Faith means you persist even when you don't feel like it. You persist even when you don't feel like it. You know, the world says otherwise. We live in a world that is driven by emotion. If it makes you happy, do it. If it makes you happy to leave your marriage, do it. If it makes you happy to leave your kids, do it. If it makes you happy to quit that job, do it, man. You know, whatever makes you happy, right? We live in a world driven by emotion. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. Mature people live by commitments. They don't live by emotions. Listen to the story of Moses. You know Moses, he was a prince of Egypt. He was cast out in the middle of the desert. He became a shepherd for 40 years. And then God asked him to come back to Egypt to free the people of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. And by that time, Moses had lost all his confidence. Said, nah, not me, God. You know, I can't talk. You know, I can't speak. He gave all kinds of excuses. But God said, no, I want you. And here's what happened. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Some of you this morning, I know, you are on the brink of giving up. You are on the brink of throwing the towel. You are on the brink of calling it quits. You said, that's it. I've had enough. I've had enough. I don't think I can do this anymore. I think I'm gonna give up on this marriage. I think I'm gonna give up on my children. I think I'm gonna give up on this career. I think I'm gonna give up on this health that I've been praying to God about, but you know, never came about. I think I'm gonna give up. I'm gonna call it quit. I'm throwing the towel. Let me tell you, God, I believe God sent you here this morning so that you can hear these words from God. God is speaking to you right now through me, I believe. Hang in there. Hang in there. Keep believing even though you can't see it right now. Keep obeying even though you don't understand it. Keep giving even though you don't have it yet. Keep persisting even though you feel like giving up. You know, when you look at your problem, you're going to be overwhelmed. When you look at the world, you're going to be distressed. When you look inward, you're going to be dissatisfied. But when you look to Jesus, you're going to find rest. You're going to find rest. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, who are sick and tired, and I will give you rest. You know, I just want to acknowledge people in our church who over the years, even though they don't feel like it, they keep on persisting in giving, in sacrificing their hard-earned money. Maybe there were some years where they thought, man, we could use this money. Oh, we know what to do with this money. You know, but they, instead of listening to the temptation, even instead of listening to their own hearts, to their own feelings, they decided to persist to give. And that's why we were able to do more effectively what we do right now, because of their persistence. And let me tell you, for those of you, especially those of you who are newer in participating in Kingdom Builders, in the next 12 months, there will be times, trust me, where you don't feel like going, where you have it tough and you say, oh man, you know, should I continue this giving or not? Let me tell you, when you don't feel like it, that's where faith should kick in and say, no, even though I don't feel like it, I know this is the right thing to do. I know God is going to enable me to do it. I'm going to keep on persisting even though I don't feel like it. And some of you are wondering, like, why should I? For those of you who have not had the opportunity to participate, maybe you were away last week, you know, we want to give you more opportunity again today. At the end of this gathering, I want to give you some time to fill in that form or to go to our website and all that. But let me tell you why it's worth it for you to persist in giving. Okay, for those of you who are tired, maybe you've been doing this for many years, maybe you're considering not to continue this year, let me tell you why you should persist, okay? For those of you who are still on the fence, should I give to the Rocks or not? This seems to be a rich church. They have a lot of money already. They have a lot of resources already. Let me tell you, you know, we do have a lot of needs in this church. This year, we plan to double our missions budget to $127,000. That's how much we plan to bless this community, you know, world mission and all that. You know, we plan to do more. We plan to make more impact in this community. So it's worth giving. I believe our vision, our calling is unique as a church, you know, because of our super intentionality in making this church to be a great place for anybody to come, even people who feel like God doesn't love them anymore, who feel like they are far from God. This is the space that we have created for them. We are intentional about that, and that's the reason why we are so unique about it. You know, if you're wondering, like, well, isn't my money going to go further if I give it to the third world country somewhere in Africa, maybe somewhere in India or China or somewhere, maybe? Isn't that, you know, my money, my dollar will go further in those countries? Well, let me ask you, how much do you think one person is worth to God here in Perth? How much do you think one person in Bentley worth to God? How much do you think one person in East Kennington worth to God? If it's, let's say, on average, it takes $50,000 to save one person here in Perth, do you think God will spend that kind of money? Is one soul in India more worth to God than one soul in, say, Thornley, you think? No. They're worth exactly the same to God. And God had given his very best to die for that one person in Thornley, for that one person in Beckenham. Let me tell you. And let me tell you this. 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says, it cost God plenty to get you out of that dead and empty-headed life that you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, not with gold or silver. It's too easy. It's too cheap for God. If he can, you know, pay your sin with gold or silver. No, it costs God his own son. You don't think it's worth $50,000 if we need to spend that kind of money? Of course. You know, we give to world mission too, but don't forget your Jerusalem. Don't forget the place where you are. That's why we want to encourage you, because we have a great mission here in church at the Rocks Again Vision that I believe was worth every cent of our resources, of our giving, of our sacrifice. All right? So with that, on your seat, you would see this commitment card. Maybe it's not on your seat, it's on the seat next to you. I want you to take some time right now to, if you haven't got a chance to fill in this card, or you can do it online. That's actually the easiest way and the fastest way, to go to therocks.info and make your pledge, make your commitment right there, and be a part of us, all right? You know, it's a privilege, let me tell you, to be honest, it's a privilege to be able to be a part of this. And I regretted a lot of things in life. I regretted some of the things that I bought, you know, some of the shoes I bought, some of the amplifiers. That was a silly purchase. But I have never regretted 1 cent that I gave to this church. When you see testimonies like Shirley, like Rob, like, you know, a lot of people that have been baptized, life changes that have been, man, I'm telling you, I want to hear more stories like that. And you can be a part of that as well. And as you're filling in this form, I want you to watch this awesome testimony video from our very own Dev Devinda. He's one of the leaders here at church, and his journey of faith, his journey of giving is also equally amazing. And for those of you who have participated, you can watch this, and for the rest of you, you can take this time to fill in that form, and I'll come back and close us in prayer. Let's enjoy this testimony.
Hi, my name is Dev. I've been coming to the Rocks for around 4 years now. There was a time when I was cruising through life. Seemingly, everything I wanted to achieve in life seemed to be on track. My career and profession were taking off. I had a great family, solid friendships, and a sound financial situation that gave me flexibility to do what I wanted to. But there was this nagging feeling that something was missing. Meeting my now wife, Sid, in early 2015 changed everything. Here is this girl who seemed to have a joy in life that went beyond anything I could understand. Then one day, Sid told me that her joy and sense of purpose comes from her relationship with Jesus. Now, this got me thinking, maybe Jesus could fill the gaps in my life and give me the sense of purpose I was looking for. So started my journey of faith. I joined a local church, The Rocks, started coming to Sunday gatherings regularly, and found community. The more I started to learn about God and Jesus, the more I wanted to get involved. Now, one of the ways I chose to get more involved was to give more. I remember hearing a message by Pastor Daniel talking about percentage giving and about how we give God a percentage of what we have as a recognition of what He has given us. So I looked into my finances and rearranged a few things, even downgraded my car and made it so that I could give at least 10%. For the first 18 months, this was a bit of a stretch, but things got rough real soon. Once Cindy and I got married, I was planning on moving to England. I also insisted on contributing my share of all the expenses for our wedding. So the scene was set for the biggest demand on my finances. But I wasn't too worried, because I'd been smart, I had invested, and in the back of my mind, I was counting on God returning the favor, because I had been very generous this far. But things didn't quite go to plan. Firstly, the Perth housing market started tanking, and by the time I sold up, instead of making money, I had to pay nearly $15,000 out of pocket. Then my workplace was hit by a computer virus, which meant we couldn't confirm any appointments. No patients meant no income for me because I was a contractor. I remember feeling so overwhelmed, so hopeless, so scared, and I really didn't know what to do. But I trusted in God's provision for my life. So here's how the story panned out. It took my clinic only 1 month to recover from the computer virus, and in the following 3 months, I earned significantly more money than I would normally at that time of year. I paid all the parts of the wedding that I needed to, and our wedding gifts were so extravagant that Sid and I managed to have a full year of mini moons and one big amazing honeymoon. Now here's what I learned during that journey. God is more committed to capturing my heart than he is to catering to my comforts. So giving for me became a way in which I let go of something that had a hold on me and let God replace that. So my identity was not about being financially sound, but it was more about knowing who I was in God and who God created me to be. I learned that God will provide above and beyond I could ask or imagine if I would just trust him.
Come on, let's give Dev a hand. I saw the car that he used to drive. Nice. He's not just a generous giver, he's also my dentist. He took 3 teeth out of my mouth in the last year or so. And he's an excellent, excellent dentist, let me tell you. If you're looking for a dentist, I'll make sure you go and see Def. That's my promo for you, Def. I take 10% cut, all right? But isn't that amazing how God has been faithful in his life and in all of our lives when we put him first in our lives? So I would encourage you to join us in this generosity journey, and I trust that God is able to give you more than what you think or imagine, because God is that kind of God. He's a faithful, generous Heavenly Father who can take care of us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.